Em shakes her head and slips her hand through Mum's arm, but I grin. It'd be great. Somewhere different. New stuff to do. No school.
They'd go to school, dummy, goes Dad. Strange schools, too. Full of kids they didn't know and teachers who didn't want them there, probably. And no Mum to run home to if you didn't like it.
I wouldn't care. At least I wouldn't be bored all the time like I am now. He has no answer to that. We move on. One hut has a doodle bug outside it, mounted on a plinth. The doodle bug was this flying bomb with a jet engine and a ton of high explosive in its nose. The Germans invented it. They were cleverer than us in the war. Its real name was the V-1, I say to Emily. She's fed up and doesn't give a hoot if its real name was Z-50,000. But I've read all about the V-1 and want to show off. It flew at 500 miles an hour and could wipe out a whole street of houses. The way it worked was... I don't think your sister's particularly interested in flying bombs, Georgie, goes Mum, taking Em's hand. Come on, sweetheart. I know where there's some lovely ice cream. Ice cream? What's ice cream got to do with World War II? That's what I'd like to know. We all have some. Then we come to the best hut of all, the Blitz Hut. It's absolutely unbelievable. Dark and smoky with the drone of enemy bombers overhead, bombs whistling down, bangs and flashes of anti-aircraft guns and a pulsating glow from the burning buildings. It's not real, of course, but they've made a fantastic job of faking it. Right at the far end is this bombed-out house. Drifts of smashed bricks and rubble with bits of furniture and stuff sticking out and water spurting from a fractured pipe. It's like you're there, in London, in the autumn of 1940. There's a barrier. I lean on it for ages, watching and listening and wishing. The others have moved on, and I don't notice till Dad comes back and taps me on the shoulder, making me jump.
Come on, Georgie. We wondered where on earth you got to.
I follow him out, my ears ringing. Dad, I wish...
What?
I wish I'd been there, seen it all. It must have been dead exciting. He shakes his head.
Awful, old lad. People blown to bits, cut to ribbons by flying glass. Imagine Emily buried under a ton of rubble all by herself, choking. They don't show the full horror.
Mum catches the tail end of this and says, Ask Miss Coverley at number 22, Georgie. She was in London. She'll tell you. Which just goes to show how much mums know. Miss Coverley doesn't like me, and I don't like her. I wouldn't ask her for a bucket of water if I was on fire, the miserable old bag. I can't be bothered now, because I'm knackered. But I'll tell you all about Miss Coverley tomorrow. Something for you to look forward to. Chapter 3 Sunday, I phone Pete before I go downstairs. He's like,
Hello? Who is it? What do you want?
Old Pete sleeps like the dead. Takes about 5 hours to come round. I could have called Daniel, but it's more fun with Pete.
Georgie! I shout. Who do you think?
Time is it, you moron?
4 a.m.
You're kidding!
Of course I am. It's 8:30. Sun's burning your eyeballs out. Get up!
Give me 30 minutes, right?
Right. 9, usual place, and call Danny. I grab a coffee, jog along to Sparrow Park. It isn't a park, it's just a triangle of grass with doggy poo, 4 trees and a bench. We hang out there, Pete, Danny and me. I'm first, so to pass the time I rig up an invisible machine gun and blaze away at some Nazi tanks clanking up Cardigan Road. I'm so into it I don't hear Pete and Danny till Danny says,
Right, Sergeant, give him help.
Oh, hi. I cease firing, act like I'm not embarrassed at all. They know I'm mad on World War II.
So, goes Pete, how was it?
Ace.
I've brought the leaflet. I open it. They join me on the bench. All these huts, see? 29 of them, each on a different topic. I read a few out. The rise of Hitler. Britain prepares. Women at war. But this is the best. I point to Hut 5. Blitz,